Lord and his blessings. If you got your Bible tonight, Genesis chapter 9, been praying and seeking the face of God on what to preach, and I've known for a couple of weeks that I was going to preach, and I've had a couple of sermons, and I've preached this one time before, another place, but it's been a couple of years back. But other morning I got up and God confirmed it to me that I needed to preach it tonight. So I'm going to do my best to obey God. If you got your Bible, Genesis chapter 9, we'll start in verse number 11. When you find it, say amen. It says, "And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token. This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth." That's all I'm going to read. Dear God, I ask tonight you give me the tongue of the learned. God, I might speak a word tonight to the weary. God, those that's needing help, encourage somebody to strengthen for this journey. In your mighty name we pray and say amen. You can turn me down just a little bit. I'm afraid I'll get a little loud. I have a tendency to do that. But I want to preach tonight on just a simple thought on who stole your rainbow. Yeah, it's up there. On who stole your rainbow. One day, it's been several years back, I was driving down the road and I just had got a phone, Brother Aaron, that could take pictures. And I love taking pictures of rainbows and clouds and things like that, God's creation, and just signs and things like that. But I just had got the phone, and when I started taking the pictures, but there was a rainbow, and I said to myself, I'm going to pull off the side of the road, and I said, I'm going to take a picture of that rainbow. It's beautiful. And so I rolled my window down, and I took a picture of it. And the next day or two, I started scrolling through my phone and looking at the pictures, and I thought, well, that looks kind of strange, that rainbow. And then I noticed a sign before you see the rainbow, and it was out here on 25 before you get to Levi Jackson State Park, and it said Rainbow Cleaners. And I thought, that's about funny. That's crazy, Rainbow Cleaners. And then there's a rainbow behind it. And I thought to myself, I said, maybe that's where rainbows go. You know, they just get sucked away and tucked away. And I just kind of put that in my mind. But tonight I want to preach on just a simple thought on who stole your rainbow. We're living in a day and hour where the world, they look at the rainbow, and this generation especially has made their flags to represent a rainbow flag that has nothing to do with God. The LGBT, lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, have their flag, and it has these colors of the rainbow in it. But if you really want to study it out, it's not a rainbow because it only has six colors inside that flag. God's rainbow has seven colors. Six is a letter of imperfection. Seven is complete perfection. So it's done right by the Lord. The rainbow is a symbol of God's mercy and grace to men. And it's a promise of God's. It's same as God's signature upon his promise. Every time you see a rainbow, it's God's signature telling us as a people that he'll never destroy the earth completely again. In John 10 and 10, it says, "The thief cometh forth not but to steal and kill and destroy." The rainbow is a token of God's covenant between man and God himself. But we read in the Bible here in Genesis, before this rainbow appeared, the destruction of the earth, and Noah and his family went in this ark. And as he went in the ark, the waters came, as the Bible story, as we've heard as children. And the waters came and it flooded the earth, and Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, eight, was only saved. But after that, the waters subsided. And after the waters subsided, there was a rainbow, a token given to Noah that God made a covenant. God made a covenant with men. And that covenant is a promise that he has given us. But in the day and hour we're living in, it seems like we allow God's promises just to be washed away. And we don't grab a hold of it the way we need to. We don't hold on to God's promises. We let them slip out of our grip, if you will. But God has promised his people much. But it seems like we bring in little. He has given us so many opportunities, but it seems like we avail ourselves just a little menial task. There's a whole lot that God has in store for his people. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard what God has in store for his people. And in store, when I think about that, I'm thinking about the storehouse of God. If we could peer through tonight through heaven's gates and look through the storehouse, I'd say it'd be overrunning with blessings. It'd be overrunning with healings. It'd be overrunning with joy unspeakable and full of glory that we could have. These are covenants. These are promises that God has given us, that we don't have to be downcast. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be down and out. But he's given and he has provided all these things for us. The rainbow in its shape is a shape of an arc, an arch, if you will. But really, they say it's a real circle, but you cannot just see but just part of it. It's a continual circle. The rainbow is a meteorological phenomenon caused by reflection and refraction and dispersion of light. As the rain or the fog comes down, the colors reflect out through the rain. God, as I said, God's rainbow has seven colors. Man's, the day and hour, man's rainbow only has six. And the seven colors of the rainbow of God is red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Beautiful colors. But man's rainbow leaves, I believe it is indigo out. I didn't get to study it out too much. But in order to have a rainbow, there's things you got to have. You're going to have some clouds. You'll have to have some rain. But also, you'll have to have the sun to shine. A lot of times when we find clouds come our way, Brother Greg, we don't like it. And I'm not a fan of clouds spiritually coming in my direction. But I've had clouds come by. I've had storms come by that seemed like they wanted to wreck and flip my ship, if you will. But during that time, when the rains come, God also, not only the rain, but God sent the sun back behind it. God always proved himself strong. He'll prove himself strong on your behalf. And many times during the storm, I'm going to try to get to preach here. Many times during the storm, people grow negative and critical during the storm. Many lose out when the storm rises. When the storm rises, they lose hope whether they can make it or not. Instead of holding on and seeing what God has in store, instead of holding on and seeing whether God's going to pull them through or not, I don't know about you, but if there ever was a day and hour that we've got to hold on, it's this hour, because the winds of this world are blowing. The storms, clouds have been risen, and the lions have roared at God's children. But it's up to God's children to stand firm in this hour. And believe God and take that old black book and read it and study it and pray and seek the face of God and hold on and believe God's going to bring you through. There's a lot of people that seem like they want to make shipwreck and they want to leave whenever the storm clouds rise. And Paul told them, said, "Sirs, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. The angel of the Lord has stood by me this night. Whose am I am? Nothing's going to lose no harm. But if you just stay on the ship." And I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want to leave the ship when the storm's rising. I want to hold on. I want to believe God will bring us through, because the sun's going to shine again. it will shine again. You may say it's dark right now in my situation. You don't know what I'm going through, Brother Maynard. You don't know what battle I'm facing. If you hold on, the sun will shine through again. And you'll see God prove himself. He's proved himself over and over and over. If you could just reflect back a little bit, let the light shine through them dark situations and reflect back a little bit, you'll see your rainbow. You'll see that promise, what God has promised you. God's promised you a few things, and a lot of times we forget what God has really in store for us, what God promised us. And God promised he cannot lie. God promised he would return. God promised he would baptize you with the Holy Ghost. God promised he would heal your body. God promised he'd save your children. And it'd not be for you, just your children, but your children's children, as many as the Lord God should call. These are promises of God. And these are God's rainbows to us, if you will. These are God's rainbows to us. And I don't want the devil to steal them away. I don't want the winds to blow them away. But I want to hold on and say, God, I believe. I believe all things are possible. Only believe. I want to hold on. This isn't Romans 8:28. All things work together for good that them that are called. All things work together for good to them that love God and to who are called according to the purpose of God. God has a reason behind them things to show himself strong. God spoke. And one song says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. You believe that? Every promise in the book is mine. Acts 2 and 16, Joel said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old man dream dreams. I don't know where I'm at in the middle of that or not. I don't know if I'm young or old. I'm right there in the middle, Brother Aaron. I'm right on the edge of the situation. But a rainbow is a symbol of God's promise, not a symbol of man's pride. There's been times that were very dark in my life, and I could tell you and point to you that God came through. Me and my wife were married 7 years, and we'd been praying, God, we need a child. We want a baby. We want a child. We prayed, and for 7 years, there was no child. Even the doctor had told her, said, there's no way. He said, you'll never have children. Years ago. So we started praying and seeking the face of God. God, we'd like to have some children. We bring kids on the bus, and we love them and stuff, but they're not like our own. And we began to pray, and we got in the prayer line. And it wasn't 2 weeks later we found out that she was pregnant with Josiah. God put a rainbow in the clouds. When it looked like the sun would never, ever shine anymore, my God put a rainbow in the clouds. And that's a rainbow from God. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to trust God for it. There's been many, many instances. I wrote a few down, and I may just tell you, Amy's grandma had passed away. And we was down in Elizabethtown, and we was getting ready to go to the funeral. Me and my wife, me and Amy, and Titus was the only one in the house. And all of a sudden, Titus walks through the house and just starts staggering back and forth. And he falls in my arms. And I said, what is wrong with this boy? And come to find out, he took 5 or 6 sleeping pills. Overdosed. I think he was probably 18 months old at the time. Is that about right? 2-year-old. I was off 4 months. Anyway, he was 2-year-old. And here he comes staggering through the house, and we got him. And we was ready to go to a funeral for her mamma, my grandmother-in-law. And we was getting ready, and there he was. Titus took them pills. And he was lifeless in her arms. So we went on, and we rushed him to the hospital as fast as we could. We got there, and the doctor said, we need to find out what he's took. What's he taken? We didn't know of anything. And he said, somebody's got to be at the house there to find out if there's any medicine around. And we need to find an antidote for this. We need to find out what's going on here. And my brother-in-law, Jacob, was at the house at the time. And we called and said, Jacob said, "What is there any medicine around?" And he said it went to his mom's room and said the pill bottle was sitting up and the lid back on top of it. But that boy had opened the lid up somehow and took it and then put the lid back on and set it straight back up. Kids would do crazy things. But we thought we was going to lose him. But God put a rainbow in the clouds. The doctor came in and he found out what medicine it was. He said, this is the same medicine we use for surgeries. He said, and it's an anesthesia. He said, they use this for surgery. He said, I think we can give him some charcoal and some ice cream. And we think we could get it in there and it can congeal around that medicine and it not have no effect. They did that. But a matter of fact, Titus, when they come to take his ice cream and charcoal away, he didn't want to lose it. You ought to have seen him. There I was with a white shirt on, getting ready to go to a funeral. And this little boy in my arm, black charcoal running out of his mouth, all over my shirt. I didn't care about the shirt. I was worried about the boy. And I was praying, God, don't let my boy die. I don't want to lose my child. But God put a rainbow in the cloud. And God rescued him. I'm just telling you a few stories to try to get you to realize God put a rainbow in the cloud. And the devil has tried to steal your rainbow. He's tried to get you discouraged. He's tried to get you not to believe the whole book, the truth. There's things that God has told you and promised you. You've got to hold on to them things. Don't just cast them aside. Believe God. Believe God. My wife was pregnant with Amelia, and I was working, but I'd got to go to the doctor's office with her. And when she was in there, the doctor came and said, "Is everything all?" Asked her if everything was all right, and she said, "Yeah, everything's all right." And then Amy had told me the day before that her stomach had a spot on it and was itching. And I said, "Doctor, I said everything ain't all right." I said, "My wife's got a spot on her stomach that itches," and he said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, he looked at it, he said, that's shingles is what she's got. He said, on that spot, it looks bad on the outside, but inside where that baby's at, said it can cause that baby to be born deformed. And he gave her such a horrible diagnosis. He said, "Your baby's probably been born blind. Your baby's going to have birth defects. All these things." And he said, "But we won't know nothing." This is what the man said. He said, "We won't know nothing until next Monday when we can get you in to check you out and get a test to find out until Monday." And I said, "No, we're not waiting until Monday. We're going to go find a doctor. We're going to find out whether it is or not tomorrow or as soon as possible." But he wanted her to wait. That drive a person crazy trying to think. So God, in you, anybody seen my little girl Amelia? She's not got no birthmarks, no birth defects. I mean, she may have a birthmark, but she has no birth defects. Perfect when she was born. But God put a rainbow in the cloud, and it looked like this. When it looked like the sun would never shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the cloud. And I'm holding on to that, Brother Parker. And I ain't letting the devil steal my rainbow. I'm holding on to the truth that we can, like you said, we have revival. It's up to you and I whether we really want revival or not. God's got all the power, all the resources. He's looking for those, whosoever will, let them come, he said. Drink of the living water. He's looking for somebody who will stand and rise to the occasion for such an hour as this that we've come to the kingdom of God. Brother Mark Vaughn, anybody remember him? Brother Mark Vaughn, I've talked to him a few times. Been a while since I talked to him, but when he was here, him and Sister Nita had been married almost 24, 25 years, no children. No children at all, and they wanted children. They'd bring children in from everywhere, up to 100 on the bus route. Bring them up out of them hollers where me and Aaron had to go afterwards and pick them up. But he had a special way with kids, and he still does. He'd just go out. I felt like he was almost, I mean, he reminded me of Jesus. The way Jesus, children coming to me for such as the kingdom of God. But he'd go out there and he'd work and talk, and they grows. But he didn't have no children of his own. But he called me one day, And we begin to talk, and he said, Brother Maynard, he said, guess what? And I said, what? He said, we're going to be having a baby. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no. He said, we're having a little girl. And he said, God gave us a little girl after 25 years. And all that time, the devil was probably saying, there's no way you'll have children. There's no way you'll ever get what you need. There's no way you're going to be without. But God seen through the dark clouds, and God put a rainbow in the clouds. When it looked like, as I said, the sun would never shine anymore. You ever been in a dark area? You ever got in a spiritual darkness? It may not have been spiritual. You ever got so dark? You ever got into a place where it seemed like there was no light around at all? You'd pray and it seemed like there was no answer. You'd wrestle and you'd tarry and you'd cry out, God, where you at? And it seemed like God was nowhere in sight. I've been there before. I can tell you stories. My brother, I've told this over and over, and you're probably tired of me telling it. After my brother Jerry passed away, for 6 months, I went through one of the world's worst trials of my life. Couldn't touch God. I tried to pray, Brother Greg, and no answer. I'd get at the couch, and I'd pull my hair, and I'd try to beg God, I need to touch you, I need to feel you, I need to touch you, I need to hear your voice. No answer. It wasn't that God was trying to hide himself from me, but it was just that darkness had penetrated, and it became so gross darkness. But I remember, like I've told you before, Brother Greg, one night we was here, and we began to pray. The church was praying, and Brother Jarvis at that time said, if anybody's in the church tonight and you're going through it and you're having troubles and you need help, he said, find somebody beside you to pray with you. Guess what? I sat there and sat there. Everybody else? But a few minutes before the service was over, I looked at Greg. I said, will you pray with me? And he said, why, sure, I'll pray with you. So we stood up here, and as we was praying, I heard him praying. But he was speaking in tongues. But I didn't know what he said in tongues. All I heard was, weep no more for Jerry, which was my brother. And you talk about a rainbow. You talk about a rainbow. You talk about the light shining in on a dark situation. And the devil's tried plenty of times to take that away. He's tried plenty of times to steal my rainbow. He's not going to steal my rainbow. That's a promise from God. I'm holding on. I'm trusting the Lord. I don't know what you've been holding on to. I don't know what God spoke to you about, but you need to hold on about it. You prayed and God said, I'm going to do something for you later on down the road. Hold on, it ain't over yet. The answer's on its way. Yes, I know. The answer's on its way. Hold on. You got a son that's lost? Hold on. God ain't finished yet. He's working for your good. You got a daughter that's lost? Hold on. The sun will shine again. You're sick in your body? Hold on. Come to the living waters. Come to the river. This is come to the fountains, the rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. I don't know about you, but there's a whole lot of promises in this book right here. They said, I believe it was over 7,000 promises in this book to us. Did I count them? No. There was another preacher did. Counted them every one. Said there's over 7,000 promises. What has he promised you? Do you think God's going to lie? No. He's able to do overabundantly above what he's asking. What you ask, think, or even believe. Beyond that, he can save your boy Rodney. He can save Darren White. He can save your husband. I believe he can. He can save Angela Broughton. Oh, yes, he can. He can save Karen. Oh, yes, he can. He spoke it, and he's going to do it. Whosoever will, let him come. Whatever you have need of, He that hath no money, come. Buy without price, come. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, come. If God's called you to do something, don't sit still. Work while it's yet day, because there's darkness upon us. Gird yourself. Rise to the occasion. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Don't let him steal your rainbow by telling you. You know, he'll speak in your ear, and you don't believe the devil's lie. Don't, one preacher preached on don't buy the devil's lie. Don't believe that. He'll tell you that it's impossible for them to get saved. He'll tell you that they've had chance after chance after chance. May I tell you, if they're still breathing, there's still hope. If they're still alive inside their bones, there's still hope. If you can whisper in their ear while they're laying there, burnt, third-degree burns, 97% of their body, and whisper to them, you need to pray, there's still hope. If you walk up on a bankside like I did, that night when Jerry was burnt, I walked up on the bankside. He was sitting there burnt 97% of his body from head to toe, burnt black. I walked up to him, and I seen him on that bankside. Jerry, I said, you're in bad shape. I said, have you prayed and made things right with God? And he said, I have. I have, Maynard. And the guy that was with us, Jerry, said, I said, we've got to get you some help, Jerry. And I just tell these things for the glory of God. So I reached down and I picked him up. Him burnt 97% of his body, head to toe. Picked him up and I carried him down the house. Do you know what he wanted? He wanted a glass of water. So we got him a glass of water. And we was going to hold it for him. He said, no, I'll hold it. He took the back of his hand, lifted it up, and drank a glass of water. I don't know about you, but God's got great things in store for us. And you can hold on. It don't matter how dark it is. They may be on their last breath. We can go to the hospitals and knock on the doors and go in and talk to them. If they're still alive, there's still hope. Cast out the lifeline. There's souls out there in danger. The reason we're on this visitation or doing this visitation is summer surge. It's not just to fill a pew. It's trying to rescue somebody. The old song we used to sing, throw out the lifeline. There's still somebody out there and sin. Out there. You crazy? Yeah, I am. Leave me alone. I threw a rope out there, and the rope was laying right in the middle. And the second time I threw it, it landed across a pew in front of a guy that was lost. And I told him, I said, you need to grab a hold of it. I said, the Lord's trying to save you. And he looked at me like I was crazy, which most people do. He looked at me like I was crazy, and he just shrugged it off. But now he's lost his family. He's walked away from God. Great, talented man. The man could play the piano better than most people I know. But yet he'd rather die and go to hell. He made a choice. But I've knocked at his door. I've talked to him. But there's souls lost. There's men in their charge, and I want to reach somebody. Say not that they're 4 months of the harvest, for it's ripe and ready already. We are the laborers. What are we doing? What are we doing? Why sit ye here idle all the day long? There's work to be done. You say, I can't do nothing. You can pray. I said, you can pray. You said, there ain't nothing. There's power in prayer. Just a few words, a child's faith and his goodbye to despair. There's power. The most blessed thing, the greatest thing you could ever do is pray. There's more power in prayer than the atomic bomb. You believe that? I believe there's power in prayer. You know what the devil says? Don't pray. Don't go to church. You feel bad tonight, just stay home. That's what he says. You know what happens? We get that spirit upon us. Nobody will notice me not being there. And it'll go from one service, then another one will tag up with it, and it'll be two services. Pretty soon you miss a whole month of Sundays. And I ain't saying that to those who's here because you're here tonight. But what I'm saying is we must work. There's a work to be done. And the devil has tried to steal your rainbow. There's promises. There's things that God has spoken. And you say, he spoke to me nothing lately. What about 20 years ago? What about when you was in a great revival and God was speaking to your heart then? What was he telling you to do then? Has he changed? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I changed not. That same God that called you, that same God that called you into his field is still calling out. My house is full. My fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? Seems all my children want to stay around my table. But no one wants to work in my field. And I ain't telling you you have to go to Africa. I ain't telling you you have to go to China. We've got an America that is lost. We've got a Kentucky that's lost. We've got a Laurel County that's lost. A county that has had great revivals. A county that has experienced great moves of God needs a revival again. Needs a church on fire. Needs a church with a vision. Needs a church with a mission. And that's what we got to be. And that rainbow, the devil says it's impossible. You mentioned revival? The devil says it's impossible to have revival. The devil says you can't. God says you can. You decide. You cast the final vote. You hear me? The devil says it's impossible. God says you can. You're the one that casts the final vote. Whether we have revival or not. It's not my brother or my sister or anybody else, but it's. If you just draw a circle and stand in it and say, God, send revival to this circle. And stay in it until God pours revival and God will move. God delights to show himself strong. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Who stole your rainbow? What are you believing? Believe not every spirit. The Bible says, try the spirit, see whether it be of God or not. There's not every spirit, not every sermon on the radio is something you need to listen to. No. I heard them last week saying that you can't ever lose your salvation. You know what I done? I changed that station. I didn't want to hear that guy because he's feeding somebody a lie. You can backslide. You can lose it. But you can also lose that rainbow in promises. God put a rainbow in the clouds. Somebody here come piano, please. And shut it down. He's done these things for us. What a mighty God we serve. You mean God would care enough for us that during the storms of our life, that there would be a rainbow that we'd look and say, that's a promise. God, you said it. You said you never put so much on us that we can't bear it. With every temptation, you'd make a way of escape. You've done it for me. Sometimes we forget what privileges we have as children of God. We have great privileges. You have great promises, dearly beloved. We have a great hope. It's not a dead hope. But a lively hope, Brother Jonathan. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. If you're here and there's a cloud been hanging over your head, look past it. You say, I can't hardly see past it. Lift your head up higher. The song we sing, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You want to get above the shadows? Ask God to bring you up higher. God, there's clouds here. They say, and I've never been on an airplane, my wife has. They say when you get up above it, Brother Tyler would know that them clouds are under you now. They're not over you no more. Is that so? No clouds. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. My wife, I go preach somewhere, and my sister-in-law says, every time you preach, you have to bring a song in it somehow. It's just my nature, I guess. These songs that we've sung for years has been put in here and inside here, and I love it. I like it. I don't want to change it. But won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyfully singing with heart bells ringing. Yeah, we have troubles here. But look above them troubles. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up your head, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. You're a child of the utmost high God. I done told you have great heritage, great lineage, great promises been applied to our life. All these promises of mine, every chapter, every book, every line, it is mine. It is mine, it's mine. Blessed be his name. He has given peace, perfect peace to me. It's mine, Brother Greg. Yours. I love this way. You say, it's been awful dark in your life before, Brother Manor. Yeah, it has. I love it. It's going to be worth it all one day. When we enter that city, when the gates swing open wide, we hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into everlasting life. I can take him back to the place where I prayed through July the 9th, 1990. I can take him back to the place where God baptized me the Holy Ghost July the 23rd, 1991. I don't remember what day I got called to preach, but it was a night. I can take him back to that night where I was praying and crying, God, what am I supposed to do? Have you called me to preach? Or what? Somebody done told me that. I'm not taking a lot of time. And I ain't saying who it is. Nice tonight. But I remember that night I had my finger in my Bible and I slept in my Bible. It was the Bible the church gave me for graduation, Sister Luena. And I'd sleep with that Bible because I cherished the Word of God. And I'd wake up and I'd read it. But I had my finger in my Bible and I said, God, if you call me to preach, you'll show me in your Word. So I took it and I opened it up. And I took that little flashlight I had there and I shone on it verse. And it said in Isaiah 42 and 6, the Lord God had called thee. That's all I needed to know. I knew I wasn't acting crazy by going to at the house, standing there looking in the mirror and preaching to myself. I knew I wasn't going crazy. I knew there was something going on. I remember Mom said when we'd come on the bus route, and I was probably just 2 or 3 years old, and we lived down there at Pittsburgh. There's a lady that come by, and she was an old drunk. Mary Humphrey was her name. Did you ever know her, Brother Mike? Mary Humphrey come by. And she, every time I'd get off the bus, me as a little boy, she'd say, oh, is that little preacher man? And I looked at her like, you're crazy. I don't know about that. Well, somehow that old drunk lady had some insight that I didn't have. But I'm glad. This is a beautiful way. Let the storm clouds rise. I'm holding on to an everlasting arm. You got a promise? Is there a promise somewhere? You have a promise somewhere he's given you. Won't you go back to that prayer closet and dust that promise off and say, God, I'm just going to believe you. I'm just going to take you at your word. I trust you. You can do it, God. You can save his soul. You can heal his body. You can make him brand new. Old things pass away. Behold, all things created new. Let's all stand tonight. If you got a need tonight, and you got a promise, if you got a promise tonight you've been holding on to and it's got a little dusty, and I've reflected and it brought back as the sun shined through tonight, and you've seen that rainbow, and it brought back something in your mind, what God told you to do, would you tell God, I'll do it? God, I'll do it. I'll work for you. I'll labor for you. I'll believe you, Lord. I'll trust you for things that's called impossible. All things are possible. Smith Wigglesworth, he always, his favorite words was, only believe. That's my words to you tonight. Only believe. That's all you need to do. Sister Luena, just believe. When the winds are howling, when lightning is flashing, when the waves are roaring, just only believe. The master, be of good cheer. The master's on the ship. You remember he stood up that night. The disciples were. He stood up and he said, "Peace be still." Then he looked and he said, "Even the winds and the sea obey him." Let's find this place of prayer on these altars tonight. You got a promise. Bring it to God. God, I'm just going to believe you for what you said. I ain't going to let the devil steal my rainbow. I'm going to hold on to the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. There's hope for the hopeless. Joy for those who have no joy. You got a family member that's lost. God's able to save them. You got one that's needing healing. He's got all the healing. He is a healer.